I have to hear the birds in the morning. I have to. It's yeah. So we have to walk through some woods, and we have to, you know, get that connection with nature before we start the day.
I used to do the same thing. I used to walk my daughter to school, and that was part of the whole thing. She's a bit older now. She's embarrassed walking along the street with me down there. So I run after her. Sometimes she forgets something, and I run after her before she gets on the bus. She like ignores me, like, who the hell is that man?
I find I'm more creative when I'm lying flat, actually, rather than sitting at a desk.
I think people are going to love that. That's the best bit so far.
Stop using alarm clocks. So I don't use any alarm clocks anymore. I can tell my brain tomorrow I need to wake up at 5. I will wake up at 5.
Really?
Or I will wake up at 4, 1 hour before.
Okay. Hi, welcome. We're back on another podcast. It's expanding and growing. We have a few more listeners. I've got to say hi and welcome to our friends on Genesis Radio Birmingham. I'm going to say hi to George. And hopefully you may be hearing this on LWR from back in the day. Big shout out to Zach. And with my two guests here, I'm Ash. Who else we got here?
Hi, I'm Julien Brunoir. I am an educational coach and also life coach.
And you have Tricia Howell, and I am the founder of Lightweight Therapeutic Education.
I think today, I thought the topic could be morning routines. It really helped me this morning. I had a ton of things to do. I was a bit late today. And it just set me up for the plan what I was doing, got my head in the right space. I remember when I was younger, I used to just get out of bed and jump on a bus or get in a car or whatever it was, and I just can't do that anymore. So the first question is, do you two have a morning routine? Is it important?
Yes, morning routine. Yes, I do. And I had many routines, and I stick into one at the moment, and I think it's very useful, and it regenerates me. So yes.
I guess I do have a routine. I think until this podcast, I didn't really think about it as a routine. It's just a natural way of being, of getting myself together and being prepared for the day.
Mm. It's interesting you say it's natural. And obviously, you we talk about whether you're a morning person or a nighttime person. I always hear that argument. I'm not a morning person. Yeah, but I only learned relatively recently that getting up early is a success habit. People like Robin Sharma, Hal Elrod, you know, read the. But not only that, if you study great leaders, spiritual leaders, business leaders, they have a habit of waking up early. So there has to be something. So Trish, are you naturally a nighttime person or a morning person? Do you get up easily in the morning?
I would say I'm definitely a morning person. I wake up with the light. Even when it's dark, I still get up at the same time. I get up really early. I'm awake between 5.
Oh, June, you've got a habit of working late and you just can't stop. You're such a workaholic. You should see sleeping on your keyboard.
Yeah. Oh, that's bad. That's bad. But I'm naturally a morning person, I would say. Naturally a morning person with some nighttime tendencies.
I was just thinking, Julien, that, you know, if we've got a task to do, then we do it, don't we?
Definitely.
So
that
would be the nighttime bit.
Oh, yeah, that would be the nighttime.
Because
there's
not enough hours in the day. Not enough hours in the day.
Yeah.
So I guess you kind of find time where there's no time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the quietness and the mysticism of the night, to be honest.
Mm.
You know, because I've started this when I was younger. Well, actually, when I was at university, I found my work ethic. I built on it, and I used to like working at nighttime when everybody was, you know, sleeping. You know, all the mysticism. You know, you have all, you know, the crickets and the sound of the crickets, and you have the moon, and you know, there's something weird and nice at the same time in the air at that time. You know, and I was very productive then.
I hear you.
I wonder if it's the nighttime or the solitude when everything dies down, the traffic, the noise dies down, people sleeping. I wonder if it's that.
Yeah.
Mm.
That you
it
like.
It depends on what night is though as well, because
probably
night could be from 10 to 12.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Or 1 to 2.
Yeah.
Depending on how you think of it.
Yes, yes.
So what are the hours that you consider night, Julien?
Back home, I would say around, you know, 11 midnight. Yeah, I would be working at midnight naturally and feeling good, not feel tired at all. I like that meditative atmosphere that the night brings, you know?
That is what I love about the morning when I get up. It's just no one to bother you. There's no noise. I wonder if there's a wider, you mentioned, what's the word you use? For me, it's almost a spiritual, it's just, there's no negativity in the air. All the slight frequency, radio, everyone's giving out frequencies of negative. This is happening, that's happening, news. But in the morning, it's all quiet.
I think as well that, you know, the rest of the day and the kind of world that we live in now is just so busy anyway. It's busy, 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 jangling, jingling. When I was decorating the back, I was sleeping at the front and all I could hear was noise. I never knew it was so noisy because at the back is the gardens and gardens on top of gardens, so you don't hear anything. You know, in the morning I might hear birds, but at night I hear nothing. It's totally black and it's quiet and it's dark. But the front is something else. So I get the, you know, I understand what you mean when you were talking about like noise, you know, the jingling, jangling and the quietness of the morning. Yep. It really does make a difference, you know, and I just think that how we start our day makes a difference for the day that we're going to have.
Literally, when you wake up, what's the first, you know, do you go to make a coffee or whatever? Just give us the detail. No,
it's none of that. I neither eat nor drink when I first wake up. In fact, I actually don't eat or drink until quite late. I take that time, I reflect, I meditate, I read and I listen to things, you know, and that's my time and that's my time. With God, just, you know, I just spend that time. It just sets me up for the day, and it's not something I sit down and plan. I automatically just wake up and it just happens. It's so organic.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say what do you read, what kind of stuff do you read?
It just depends, because it could be anything. It could be anything, but I just get, I feel that I understand what I need to do for the day. So it could be the Bible. I read the Bible, I listen to it, I pray, I read things that I might need for the day. So I might be reading books on the mind, you know.
Julian, same question to you. What's your is it the same thing every day? Do you pretty much do the same thing?
Yes, pretty much. Yes, as soon as I wake up, I try to harness my mind with some affirmations. Yes, I'll repeat two affirmations that I have, and I repeat them as much as I can. And then, you know, I try to leave bed, you know, in a very calm way. You know, I take my time, really. I would put one foot, then the second one, then just to make sure that I you know, I'm aware of the whole entire, my whole machine starts, you know, kicking. And then, yeah, I like to tidy up, you know, because tidying up in the morning helps me get my, you know, my mind in you know, active, I would say. And it helps me as well with my meditation. So it's a meditative way to start the day. And then I start breakfast for my daughter and, you know, getting, preparing her for school. So yeah, I love that routine, to be honest. Yeah. And then after, we walk to school. So this is a routine that we have. I have to hear the birds in the morning. I have to. So we have to walk through some woods, and we have to, you know, get that connection with nature before we start the day.
I've got a smile on my face, Julian, because what made me smile is when you talk about the body like a machine and having to put one foot in front of another. Yeah. And I was just thinking of this machine.
Yeah, yeah.
Putting one foot in front of the other. I just found that so funny. Sorry, my sense of humor.
No, she's the crazy one. You always get one. She has the crazy role. It's technically called how you transition from one thing. So I've only learned that, but I do something very similar to Julian. And as you said, it sets you up for the day. And if you wonder why, because if you start doing it from the minute you get up, you're conscious of your movement. You're conscious of everything you're doing. You're not in reaction. Right for the minute you're up. So that it's not like you're getting up to do anything. You just, I'm up.
Yeah.
Standing.
Yeah.
something I do, which you two didn't mention. It's not quite exercise. I do a lot of stretching. This is only more recent, I think, getting old, basically. I had a problem with my back, you know, sitting at a computer. I don't know if I'm doing it now, hunching. I gradually stretched it out, you know, every morning, and I've not stopped. I'm almost scared not to stretch, you know, all different, you know, like kind of yoga things, just classical stretching. But I'm kind of afraid to stop because the pain is going to come back.
Right.
That helps, you know. And then
but
just
the thing
in general,
is, you're supposed to stretch, aren't you? You're supposed to. Our muscles aren't meant to just sit there. And if we do a lot of sitting, then we are going to get tight.
Definitely.
The muscles shrink. You know, our way of being is not actually natural and organic to sit at a desk and sit there for hours. Whatever we're doing, it's not natural. We're meant to be able to, as Julian says, put one foot in front of the other. Or in your case, Ash, is one shoulder in front of the
one
other.
Yeah. I literally do everything that way. I used to do the same thing. I used to walk my daughter to school, and that was part of the whole thing. She's a bit older now. She's embarrassed walking along the street with me down there. So I run after the road. Sometimes she forgets something, and I run after her before she gets on the bus. She like ignores me, like, you know, that man. That madman, she pretends not to know.
Oh, do you remember those days when you were in that position?
Yeah, exactly.
you mentioned earlier preparing for the evening before. Do you tell me a bit about that? Because that was interesting. Although we're talking about the morning routines, there's a connection there.
Right, definitely. Yes, what I do is I tend to visualize what I need to do for the day after, the next day, basically. And if I have important meetings or, I sink it into my brain and make sure I remind myself. And that becomes my alarm clock. And that's how once I've discovered this technique, I stop using alarm clocks. So I don't use any alarm clocks anymore. I can tell my brain tomorrow I need to wake up at 5. I will wake up at 5.
Really?
Or I will wake up at 4, 1 hour before. Yeah. So if I have a meeting or I have to submit something, I definitely will wake up very early, you know, to make it happen.
Yeah, because and you've already sort of started that morning process in a sense in the evening.
Yes.
So you pre-programmed it, so your brain is ready to get up and and you carry on. Yeah, I make a list of things I've got to do. It's kind of a brain dump. I literally do this, pay that bill, that call. There's no order to it, just to get it out of my head, to stop me reminding myself. I write it down. And then, you know, at some point I make it like what's the most important thing today? I definitely have to, that has to be done. That's at 11 o'clock. That's at 12. I promise to do this then. Those are the definites, you know what I mean? And the rest just fall by the wayside. I keep the list there. And as they become more important, they end up at the top.
Totally.
So I think that helps. Another tip I found, this is just recent, just concentrate on three things. Apparently the brain can only handle three things at once. I don't know if you've heard this. It used to be something like 5 or 6. It's not true.
Yeah, the power of three.
So Trish, we're coming back to it. This is like a Netflix movie where, you know, we have different storylines. We go back and forth on the storyline. I'm going back to Trish's routine. So you've got up, you've done your 1 hour reading and stuff. So you said you need up to 2 hours before we start. What do you do with the other hour?
I don't just read. I reflect and I listen, and I may, you know, my creativity comes out in the mornings in those times, and I may jot things down. So things that I'm thinking about, things that I may plan, they come to mind. I find I'm more creative when I'm lying flat, actually, rather than sitting at a desk.
I think people can love that. That's the best bit so far.
I was learning about learning styles some time ago. Behave yourself. Anyway, I was doing styles.
Because everything we're saying is like a chore, but lying down to be creative sounds good to me.
I do, because I used to sit at the computer for ages and I would have a brain freeze and I couldn't think. And then it's like, I know that whenever I'm meditating or thinking or planning something, whenever I'm lying down, then it comes to me and it comes to me. And then when I get on the computer, I can just whack it out really quickly because it's already there.
Yep.
So I was doing some kind of training, this is years back, and one of the things that came out was about how creativity attaches itself to people in different ways. And one of the ways, some people need to lie down. And sometimes it might be best for somebody like me to maybe have a computer hanging off the wall or something. But I find that when I'm away from the desk and I'm not sitting upright, I get lots of creative thoughts.
I find myself very creative when I tidy up or when I clean. And I think I've developed this thing actually, because I'm into cleaning. I love cleaning. I have to have a clean space and clean environment for my brain to function.
Your wife must be so happy. Yeah. She can't have to do anything. Oh my gosh, she must be heaven.
No, but you know, the thing is, when I start, it puts me in such a creative mode, and it helps me write my thoughts and my ideas and some concepts. And yeah, I get to be very philosophical when I'm in that state as well. So no, I totally understand. I do not want to leave yesterday's trash or dirt or unclean environment for tomorrow's. I don't. So for example, you know, the dishwasher, everything has to be clean in the evening, so that when we wake up in the morning, you wake up in a space where you feel at peace. You're not violated by, I would say visual disorder.
Well, I'm the total opposite of that. I definitely don't fit into that category.
Oh really?
If I'm tired, I don't know, maybe it's because I can now. So maybe I'm just rebelling. Maybe I'm just a rebel. But if I don't feel like it, I'm not doing it now.
And that's the right thing, I believe.
That's a good thing.
Because, I have to clean. And I think that this is controlling me now, because I can feel tired, but I'm not going to go to bed without, clearing the sink. And I can't do that. I cannot. And the fact that you, Trish, you said,
I can put everything in the sink.
That's good.
Nicely.
That's,
cover it over with a dish.
That's the way to do. Because my routine becomes kind of an addiction,
Easy to actually get to that place. I see it a lot. Julian, it's easy to get to that place. I think we have to find a balance.
The balance, yeah.
And sometimes, how do you find the balance when you don't know that your routine is a ritual? I guess in my line of work, I see so many people with so many rituals that control their life that it's quite easy for me to identify with it. And, if that works for you, it works for you. But when it becomes something that you have to do religiously, then you need to step back a little and just kind of think about it. Maybe make some little variation. It might be little, nobody might notice, but you know that you've broken a cycle or a chain.
And I do it for the morning, to be when you wake up and you feel like, yes. Let's meditate.
I know it's definitely a Caribbean thing, because I know in my family, so I told you I'm a rebel. I just do the opposite of what everybody says, but I'm just like that. But I get it. I get it. But it's still, routines are important, but it's also important to break them sometimes.
To break them,
run outside on the grass with no shoes, socks. Feel the earth under your toes.
It's good. No, we need that balance, Trish. This is what's good that you bring that, because I acknowledge that, it can be too far there where you're not going to notice that something's dirty, hasn't been dusted, because it was done the day before. I don't have to do the floor every day. I think what you're getting at is, I think the consistent thing is not so much, it can vary, it seems like the routines can vary, but it's the intention to set out the day. Do you find this, if you say, right, I'm going to do this and do that, you start thinking about the things, and then it actually happens that way. It's very rare a day happens where I haven't planned it in the morning and I've got looked at the day and I've actually done a lot. It's not, not all, every, but I've done the main ones. And I think, I've done that. I did do that. I did that very well. And I'm, it came from that, that intention in the morning, that planning.
Exactly. And I think as well is that sometimes life chucks things at us and, you know, it causes us to destabilize sometimes. And we've just got to find our way back to a middle ground, really.
Thanks, guys. If you have just joined us, because I know with radio it's different from podcasts. People may have tuned in at different times. We're talking about morning routines, so you still can catch a bit. We've got you two have a think, just some tips. We've given quite a few out already of what you two do, and the argument for having a good morning routine, because there is an argument for, oh, why bother? You know, save that time, get some sleep. You know, sleep's important. But I think the argument is definitely for, I mean, as I say, all the top, from Buddha to Gandhi, Martin Luther King, they systematically, I mean, you can't imagine a leader or a not waking up. You know, it's like, imagine like, you know, Gandhi or someone just waking up at like 12 o'clock. Oh, it's lunchtime. You know what I mean? Oh, what do we do now? You know what I mean? It's just not going to happen. You know, so all top people do it. So, so I think, have you two got any tips while I'm thinking of mine? I'm trying to think of something I haven't given already.
The main thing is really go with who you are. If you're a night owl, do the night owl thing. If you're a lark, get up like a lark and do, you know, you've got to go with what's good for you, not with what people say is good for you.
Exactly.
Find your own self.
Exactly. I like that.
Yeah. Identify yourself, your type of, you know, person you are, if you're more of a morning or evening, and then work from there. I totally agree, Trish. Because I've tried the 5 a.m. clubs at some point. Religiously, and I'm not doing it anymore. It doesn't work for me.
Well, one of your, I know the Eric Thomas ET, he's always going on about the grind, and he's up at 3 a.m. Not forget 5 a.m. He's up doing it. And The Rock as well, notorious for getting up early and going to the gym. A lot of the big basketball players, LeBron James. And those kind of guys, you know, notorious getting up practicing before. So, but yeah, but I take your point, Trish, just because we're saying it here. And if you are, don't beat yourself up, because it may not be you, maybe you are. There's a lot of
especially young people, they're actually programmed. It's not even their fault. They can't get up.
Stuff going on in their
brain where they're actually really, they should be starting school later because they struggle and it's biological. It's nothing to do with their thinking.
So though, if you're a nighttime, if you get your work done at night, I mean, it's Tim Ferriss. He's a well-known kind of author and motivation. He's notoriously a nighttime person, so nothing wrong with that. A lot of Silicon Valley, a lot of entrepreneurs that make these apps and stuff wake up at 10, stroll into the office, you know what I mean? So there's, but they work late, they program through the night, and you know, so they come alive. So there's nothing wrong with that, but it's good to have that time whenever it is. As you said, Julian says, sometimes in the night you just feel, you know, the muse is there. We didn't use that word, the muse, did we? What does the muse mean? That's, appeal to whenever your time is, this is it, appeal to the muse.
I just think musing is reflecting, meditating, thinking, pondering. That's what I would consider muse to be. And it's something different in the dictionary.
I think it's important to have that time just to center yourself.
Yes.
Just to regroup.
Yes.
Things in brackets and categories, rather than being in reaction mode and stumbling over yourself for the whole day.
You save so much time by having that time. You know, my day starts very quickly. Straight away, I'm getting calls, you know, counselling and this and that and the other. So for me, that's my time. I don't get it any other way.
Yeah.
The day's too full. My time is early because everybody's in their bed sleeping.
Did you have any tips? Did I ask? I can't remember now. Are you giving a lot?
Yeah, I would say the affirmations, have one or two affirmations that you can repeat before you wake up. You get out of bed and preparing your morning the night before. Just talk to yourself and tell yourself what you want to achieve, what you want to do, you know, and what you have planned. And that's it, really. just small stuff.
Good, Julie. So thanks, guys. You guys have a good week, whatever you do. And I know you're going to have a good day because you prepared this morning.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Most definitely. So, see you again.
See you.
See you, Trish. See you, guys. See you, Julie.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.